Good morning. When you turn to Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, Ephesians 4 is where we will begin as we prepare our minds to partake of the Lord's Supper and thinking about how Jesus was perfectly mature. In Ephesians 4, this section is about growth in the church, and Paul is encouraging the church to press on and always be growing spiritually. And notice one of the things that he says in the middle of this section in verse 13. He says in Ephesians 4:13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now, I have my lapel mic on, but I'm not sure it's coming through. Just a note to the AV in the back. But in this verse, Jesus is held up by the Apostle Paul as the standard for maturity. That's because he was perfectly mature. But what does it mean to be mature? Well, on the surface level, it just means to be fully developed. We might think about the difference between a toddler and an adult. Their bodies as a toddler are not fully developed. Everything is a smaller version of what it will eventually become as they grow and mature physically. But of course, Ephesians 4:13 is not about physical growth and physical development. The point is not that we are all to strive to become adults like Jesus physically. No, that kind of happens naturally without trying at all. He's talking about emotional, intellectual, and most importantly, spiritual maturity that should be increasing as we are growing and maturing physically. In the same chapter, in verse 15 rather, Paul says we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head. All aspects of maturity. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, Paul uses the same word and says, do not be children in your thinking, but in your thinking be mature. Jesus was perfectly mature in His thinking, in the way He dealt with life situations, in the way He related to His Heavenly Father and to others around Him. If you look up signs of maturity online, you'll find things like self-control, healthy personal boundaries, taking responsibility for your actions, honesty, integrity, thinking about others, the ability to delay gratification, and so many other qualities that describe Jesus perfectly, because He was perfectly mature. But it's hard to consider all of those signs of maturity separately. So for our purpose this morning, consider with me this simple difference between immature people and mature people. Immature people react to small issues as if they were big issues. Mature people respond to big issues as if they were small issues. Let's think about that first part. Immature people react to small issues like they're big issues. Have you ever seen a baby drop their pacifier? That's probably the smallest issue ever in life. But by their reaction, you would think it's actually the end of the world. Why? Because they don't have the maturity that comes from life experience to know that compared to other issues in life, that's not really a big issue at all. You see this in kids, maybe on Christmas or for their birthday, when they don't quite get what they really wanted, and they throw a tantrum, and they act like that's the most earth-shattering, horrible, life-altering tragedy that they will ever face. Even as teenagers, who, by the way, think that they are now fully mature, are not. And so maybe they have their first breakup and they think their life is over. Immature, less fully developed people, they react to small issues as if they're big issues because they don't really see or understand the big picture of life yet, and what truly matters in light of eternity. Now, that's understandable in babies, children, and teens. But what about a full-grown adult throwing a tantrum or turning into a rage monster because he or she did not get what they wanted for Christmas? Or because someone just cut them off in traffic? The fact that they are still reacting to small issues as if they are big issues is a sign of their immaturity. And, by the way, I'm using the word react on purpose. Because immature people often just react to what happens without much thought. It's very instinct-based. It's a very feelings-based way to live. Let's see this kind of an immaturity. If you'll turn to Matthew 12, I want to show you this kind of immaturity in the Pharisees. Matthew 12, now we covered this account on Wednesday night, but we looked at it from Mark's perspective. Let's look at Matthew's telling of this in Matthew 12, verses 9 and 10. Matthew 12, 9 and 10, departing from there, Jesus went into their synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus, asking, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. The Pharisees, in their spiritual immaturity, reacted to small issues like they were big issues. They act like healing a man on the Sabbath day is the worst thing in the world. In fact, notice how they react to Jesus healing this man. Verse 14, the Pharisees went out and they conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. They are throwing a fit and a tantrum over healing someone on the Sabbath day, something that should not really be a big issue at all. In fact, in verse 11, Jesus looks at them and says, "What man is there among you who has a sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out?" Jesus is saying, you are blowing this way out of proportion. You are treating this like it's the end of the world, when in reality, if one of your animals needed help, you'd help them on the Sabbath. So why are you making such a huge issue over helping a man on the Sabbath? They're like babies crying over a dropped pacifier here. They're like the little kid throwing a tantrum over some small issue, and they did this all the time. They thought Jesus and his disciples plucking grain and rubbing them in their hands was the absolute worst thing in the world, and it must be stopped. They thought Jesus not ceremonially washing his hands before eating, that was the worst thing in the world, that must be stopped. And on the other side of the coin, they thought their small acts of obedience like tithing mint and dill and cumin and fasting every Monday and Thursday were actually big enough issues to earn them heaven. They reacted to small issues like they were big issues because they didn't have the spiritual maturity to see the big picture of life from God's perspective. And the truth is, Jesus' disciples were spiritually immature, for the same reason, though in a more innocent way than the Pharisees. I think about Nathanael in John 1, and he comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, "Well, before you even came to me, I saw you under the fig tree." He's just blown away by that. He thinks that's the coolest thing he's ever heard. How did you know that? It's like when you give a little kid 20 bucks, and they think, "I am rich. This is just fantastic." Well, when you know what life is like from the big picture, you know 20 bucks really isn't that much. But in the child's immaturity, they think it's amazing. Jesus looks at him and says, "You're going to see way greater things than these. 20 bucks, you know, this me knowing you under the fig tree, that was nothing, Nathanael." But he was immature. Or how about John's disciples, and they're freaking out. You know, "Hey, John, your disciples, they're leaving you. They're going to Jesus. This is a huge deal." And John says, "No, that's actually not a big deal. That's actually exactly what's supposed to happen in God's plan." Or you think later about the disciples in the boat and there's a storm and they're absolutely freaking out. They just think they're going to die. They're going to perish. All the while, Jesus is fast asleep in the boat. Now, to be fair to the disciples, normally a storm like that is a big issue, but it's not when you have Jesus in the boat with you. So even the disciples, in their immaturity, often reacted to small issues like they were big issues because they did not see the big picture of life from God's eyes. Mature people, on the other hand, They don't just react, they respond. And they respond to big things like their small things. Let's say someone gets angry with you and spits in your face. It's actually a pretty big issue. It's not something we would probably characterize as something small. And think about this. If an immature person reacts to small issues like they're big issues, imagine what happens when an immature person actually faces a big issue. Well, then the reaction is even crazier. And an immature person in that case probably going to haul off and punch you and punch that person in the face and get in a fight, and it's just going to spiral out of control from there. But if you spit in a mature person's face, they can acknowledge that that is a big issue, that that is not something small. But then instead of reacting, they know they can choose their response and respond to it as if it were a small issue and walk away. Do you see why being mature is so much harder than being immature? Would you look in Matthew 5 with me, please? Matthew 5. I bring up the spitting example because of Matthew 5, and because, of course, later Jesus will be spit on. Listen to what he says in verse 38 and 39. He says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also." This verse is not about self-defense where someone is actually beating you to death. This is about a slap of insult and disrespect. And Jesus says the mature response is not to retaliate, but to let it go. And what gives mature people the ability to treat big issues like small issues is that they know there are even bigger, more important things beyond this life that make the big things of this life seem small in comparison. For instance, when a mature person is spit on or slapped as an insult, they know what's even more important than defending their pride and their honor in retaliation is to de-escalate the situation so they don't go to jail, so they don't end up in a fight where this guy pulls a gun or pulls a knife, and most importantly, so they don't sin against their Father in heaven for taking personal revenge. That's an even bigger thing than the big thing of being spit on, and it makes being spit on seem small in comparison. This is where we find Jesus. He was perfectly mature because he had a perfect understanding of the big picture of life from God's perspective. He understood what was most important in life. In fact, he understood this so well that to him, this life isn't really all that important at all compared to eternity. That this entire life is actually one big small issue compared to the big issue of being with our Father forever in heaven. It's that perfect spiritual perspective that allowed him to take the truly big issues in life and treat them like they were small issues. For instance, Jesus took big issues like that life-threatening storm, and he just said, "Hush, be still," and the waves obeyed him. Or later he'll see Mary and Martha, and they're just heartbroken. They're grieving over their brother Lazarus dying, and that was a big deal to Jesus. Jesus even wept with them. But then he remembers, "I am the resurrection and life," and he just heals him and raises him from the dead. I could point out so many more examples, but here's where we want to end, is same chapter, Matthew 5. Let's look in verse 43 through 48. Lord willing, we'll be covering Matthew 5 later in class this morning. But in this section, in Matthew 5, verse 21, all the way to the end of the chapter, Jesus addresses what people have heard from the spiritually immature Pharisees about how to live life. And then he replaces it with the spiritually mature way to live, the way God wants us to live. So verse 43, you have heard that it was said from the immature Pharisees, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Pharisees understood the law said to love your neighbor, but they got to choose who they defined as their neighbor. And if you didn't fit that definition, then we got to hate you. And usually it was the Jews were my neighbors and the Gentiles were my enemies. That's incredibly spiritually immature. And now listen to the mature way to live. Verse 44 to the end. I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Interestingly, the word perfect there in verse 48 is the same word in the Greek that is used for mature in Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 14 that we looked at earlier. And I believe that is because loving our enemies is one of the greatest signs of maturity, if not the greatest sign of spiritual maturity. And I'll just tell you, this week was rough for me spiritually. I won't bore you with the details, but basically I was forced to work with a company on a project, and the manager of the project mistreated me so many times through this process, and I will just confess to you, it was the hardest thing in the world for me to respond to that as if it were a small issue. Because I don't like being disrespected. I don't like being talked down to. I don't like being ignored. And my instinct was to let him know he is never to treat me like that again. And it was a real battle and struggle for me. And I believe, providential, that I was teaching Matthew 5 this week. Because I didn't want to live Matthew 5 this week. And as I prayed and I wrestled and I struggled, I kept thinking about this text that I'm going to be teaching, and I kept coming to the same conclusion every time, and that is, I must not retaliate. I must not think what matters most in life is to be right and to be heard and to be treated well. What matters is to let go of that, trust the Lord, love my enemies. And Friday morning, I'll tell you, I had tremendous peace because I did finally let it go. And on my last phone call with that project manager, as hard as it was, I thanked him and I wished him a happy Thanksgiving. Now, it may sound like I'm sharing that example to brag on myself, but it is just the opposite. I am ashamed of that example. Here's why. It's because the wrongs I suffered were not even in the same universe as the wrongs suffered by my Lord. And yet for days I could not let that go. Because of my spiritual immaturity, I reacted to those things as if they were of monumental importance, when in reality, the grand scheme of things, they were so small and petty. That project manager did not spit in my face. He did not slap me. He did not jam a crown of thorns on my head. He did not tear my clothes off and scourge me. He did not nail me to a cross. How would I have reacted to him then? Those would be truly big issues, things that if someone did to us, we would struggle to ever let go of. We would struggle to ever forgive that person for, and we would really struggle to ever love that person. Yet we did all of that to Jesus. And because he was perfectly mature, He took on literally the biggest issue in the world, dying innocently on the cross for the sake of his enemies. And he responded to it as if it were a small enough issue to actually go through with it. And he did that because in his perfect maturity, he knew there was something even bigger than the biggest level of suffering this life could bring. And that's the salvation of our souls.